I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Let me say how much I appreciate tonight the invitation to be here. And so if you got a blessing or get a blessing out of Brother Gray or myself and that's been here this week, be sure and thank Brother Bell, because he's the one that invited us. So you be sure and thank your preacher. And I want to say the congratulations to him and Ms. Bell, and of course to the staff and to you members for 25 years. And I congratulate you. Thank God. Not many even stay in the ministry 25 years, much less stay in one place 25 years. And, you know, they're dropping out pretty fast, a lot of people. I heard Brother Treber not long ago preaching, and he gave a statistic. I'm not sure that I could repeat it. I don't know. But it was an unbelievable high rate of how many preachers are getting per month out of the ministry. Now, I don't mean changing churches. I'm talking about they're out, they're through, it's over. It was hundreds a month, hundreds. Now, that's all denominations. That's all denominations in the country, but there was hundreds. And we think, you know, sometimes men talk about going, starting churches, and we think that, well, there's enough churches. Well, it depends on where you are. You know, you come down North Carolina, and the steeple sticking up looks like the back of a porcupine. I mean, we got them everywhere. Brother Gray, they everywhere. I mean, we got churches and churches and churches, and really gospel preaching churches. A lot of them are soul winning churches. You know what I'm saying? We got a bunch of sorry ones too, you know, that don't preach nothing or stand for anything. We got a bunch of that junk. But we got a lot of good ones. But you know, there's places in this country, preacher, that a church like this, if somebody was happen to be looking for a church and drive in and get in something like this, they'd think they died and went to heaven. They literally would. And so you better not take it for granted yourself. Don't take this for granted. And just let me just say, stay with this. Stay with this. You know, don't leave and all that kind of stuff. People get upset about little things, little trivial things, and go off somewhere else. And then here's what happens. You're always sorry you left, and pride won't let you come back. So the best thing to do is just stay. Just stay. And you know, if you get trouble and you get crossways about something, you go down the road, you know we're gonna be crossways down there too. And it ain't the problem ain't the church or the preacher. The problem was in your heart. Yes, sir. You wasn't right, and you left. You see, and so don't do that. Stay with this. Amen. This is wonderful. This is great, and real good. And so you stay at it. And choir, let me commend you. And singers, all of you this week, musicians, wonderful, wonderful Amen. Job. Boy, what singing! And thank you for the nice room over here at the Best Western, I believe it is. That we're staying in. So nice. Boy, I'll tell you, I've rested so good. And I appreciate that nice room and all the goodies, the water and the drinks and, you know, the Diet Coke, or Diet Pepsi, I believe it is. It's in there and all of the different things. It's in there, all the bananas and cashew nuts and different things. Thank you for all of that. I like it all. And thank you for it. Thank you for everything. Boy, you're an easy bunch to preach to. Now, I want to be a blessing, but I'm going to tell you something. I told Brother Gray tonight, I said, Dr. Gray, I want you to preach last. Listen, he's the best preacher, and by far he's a great preacher. And I said, I want to give you plenty of time, so I'm going to preach and get out the way. But I love you, preacher, and I love Brother Gray. I've enjoyed being with him, hearing him. Doesn't he have a great spirit? I love to be around Brother Gray. I mean, boy, he's just got a tremendous spirit about him, and of course Brother Bell does too, and I enjoy being with these men. It's so good to be around men with a spirit of enjoying life and enjoying God and enjoying what they're doing. And I even enjoyed hearing Brother Gray play the Pink Panther last night, didn't you? And I didn't know he had all that talent. I didn't know he could play no piano like that. And but anyhow, I enjoy it. If you wasn't here, you don't understand that. But He didn't play too long, but he did play a little excerpt of it, didn't you, preacher? And I enjoyed it. And the preacher said, he preached a message on the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to sell CDs, but if you want to get a good one, I'm talking about if you wanted to help somebody understand the Holy Spirit of God, you ought to get that sermon that was preached last night by Brother Gray. Tremendous. Boy, is that good. And the one this morning. And the one this morning was great. And he's just a great preacher. And I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to hearing him tonight. And then in the morning, me and my wife will get up early and drive back to North Carolina. In the morning, it'll take us the bigger part of the day. But we'll get it done. Listen to some singing and preaching going down the road. And I'll let her preach to me a little bit, you know. Going down the road. And I got a bunch of CDs in there we'll listen to. Singing and preaching. We'll just have a good time going down the road. So you pray for us. But thank you, folks. And listen, just stay with it. I'm going to preach to you a little bit about that tonight. Look in your Bible in the book of Numbers. Thank you again for everything. I appreciate it so much. I love you, preacher. I really do. I love Brother Bell. I don't get to see him very much at all. But I think of you up here and pray for you up here. I pray for your pastor. And I thank God for him. And he's an encouragement. Numbers chapter 10. Did I say Numbers? Numbers 10. I'm going to try to preach this tonight. I hope it turns out the way I want it to. I hope it'll help you. I know what I'm trying to say. Sometimes knowing what you're trying to say and then saying it's two different things. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to try to preach to you. If you do this for me, would you stand in respect to the Word of God? And verse number 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. And when you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. And when you blow an alarm a second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey, and they shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. And it shall come to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony." Let's pray tonight. And our Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing tonight. And I pray, God, you'd use me. I really do. I pray that you'd use me tonight. Use Brother Gray. God, help us tonight. We want to help. And I thank you for this good man of God that stood, Lord, in this spot where I stand faithfully for all these years and proclaim the gospel and preach the word of God. May you give him many more years and bless this congregation. God, pour out your blessings upon the church here and upon these other preachers that are here tonight. And God, may you use us and let us be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated, and I want to just I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this. We'll get right into the message, but God told Moses to make two silver trumpets of one piece of silver. In other words, took one piece and made of silver and made a trumpet. Another piece of silver, made another trumpet. And these trumpets were only to be blown in times for instructions. Now, and I read here, if you look in verse 2, one was for the assembly, when they were to assemble there. In other words, in verse 2, look what it says. Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly. Then number 2, they were to be blown for the journeying of the camps, when the camps were to get ready to move out, you see, and travel. And so then they had times down there when they'd blow them if enemy was coming. Those were alarms. But they had these trumpets, and so it was sort of like a military kind of a thing that they had to listen. And the sound of the trumpet meant something, see. And Dr. G. Campbell Morgan said this, and I read what he said about this. He said in the Bible days, he said the trumpet was never used being blown for retreat. Never. Doesn't say anything about that here. So the bugle was never blown for retreat. See. Now, but it is being blown. One day you and I are going to hear the trumpet.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what it's going to be for when we hear it? The assembly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. It's going to be for all them that's saved to assemble in the sky. That's what it's going to be. And the trumpet will sound, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the next time you and me hear the trumpet, it's going to be for the assembly. When we hear that trumpet of the archangel, and you and I leave out of here, and I hope that I bypass death. I'm not looking forward to going by the Undertaker. Amen?
Amen.
Bless God, I'd rather go by the Undertaker than the Undertaker. Amen. Wouldn't you? And but you know, I had an uncle that they buried probably a year or so ago, and I went to the funeral. My mother's brother, and he poured 2 terms of Vietnam in 67 and in 70. And he was in the 1st Cavalry Division there, and went to Vietnam. And he died. And they had the funeral. And boy, it was I don't know about military funerals. It just seemed like they're about the saddest thing you can attend. They had all those soldiers there lined up with them M1 rifles. And they had a man standing over there on the little hillside. Looked like a silhouette standing over there. And after they'd done all the different things and fired the guns and all that, they folded that flag. You know how they do. And then the man blowed. He blowed the bugle. And there his body sat on them ropes or on those slats. And they're going to let him down. And I thought, bless God, one of these days another bugle's going to blow, and they ain't going to be going down. We're going to be going up. Amen. And that's what's going to happen one day. But you know, I've thought about the bugle and what F.B. Meyer said. And he said this: the bugle here, or the trumpet, was never sounded for retreat. And I thought about that. Don't. It was used for charge. It was used for the assembly. It was used for journeying. And see, when they'd blow it, one sound would be for the tribes on the east side to fall out and get ready to go. Then it'd blow it again, and this congregation's supposed to get it. You had 600,000 of them here. Man, if you didn't have some order, and that's what the book of Numbers is a book of order, see? And so what they're doing here, this trumpet is to sound to let them know what they're supposed to do. But here's what I've got in mind tonight to preach to you, is this thought. Tonight, what keeps me from blowing the bugle of retreat? What keeps me from blowing the bugles of retreat? Now I want to say this here tonight. Thank God for 25 years that you folks have been in this spot. Hey, but Brother Bell, this is no time now to even remotely think about retreat. Oh, let me say, you said, but preacher, the battles gets hard. That's right. That's right. Hey, and who knows? Who knows, Brother Walker? It's liable to get a whole lot worse before it gets any better. Amen. I mean, we don't know. We've had American liberty. We've had so much. Brother Gray touched on it yesterday, that the flag that flies over this nation, there's no nation in the world that's had the liberty that we have up to this point. But we don't know what lies ahead. We don't really know what's coming down. I'm going to tell you something. As wicked as our nation has been and is, It wouldn't surprise me whatever God allowed to do judgment here. And we say, well, the Lord has to come and take us out of here before it gets any worse. Oh, no. Where'd you get that? Well, you said he just loves us too much. Yeah, he loved John the Baptist too. He loved John Huss that they burned up. He loved Peter too that they crucified upside down. Take that book of Fox's Book of Martyrs. He loved all them martyrs. So he loved all them people. You said, was he with them? Yeah. But hey, but in many times, and in some cases, he loves Israel. But God allowed Israel to go through awful judgment and even be taken down into Babylon and even to be run by a wicked king. You see what I'm trying to say? I don't know what it is, but I can tell you this. It's no time to blow the bugle of retreat. Let me just give you these thoughts and I'll get out of the way. First of all, I can't blow the bugle of retreat because of the cross of Calvary. Amen. When I think about Calvary and what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, amen, I can't retreat. Amen. Amen. Hey, I think about, you know what Jesus said hanging on the cross? He cried out in John chapter number 19 and verse number 30, "It is finished." Amen. He said, "It's finished." Amen. He didn't say, "Brother Gray, I'm finished." He said, "It's finished." Amen. Amen. He didn't say, "I'm finished." He wasn't finished. He had completed what God the Father sent him here to do. And that was to die for a lost world that they might have a Savior. That's why he came. But you know, I think about all of that he had to go through just to get to the cross. I think about all through his ministry, that how he was hated by religious people and hated and cursed and lied on and sometimes had to try to work a way to get away because they was trying to take his life before it was time for him to go. And then we see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we see him there and he told the disciples, "Would you watch with me for 1 hour and pray with me for 1 hour?" And then we see the best that God had couldn't even pray an hour. That's something to think about, isn't it? The best he had couldn't pray an hour with him. And then Jesus, though, we see him there in the Garden of Gethsemane. I can picture him there, Brother Bell, on his face and down his face is running literally blood that come through the pores of his skin as he had every demon of hell and every horde of hell was standing in front of him saying, "They're not worth it. Turn back. They're not worth it. Give it up. They're not worth it. Why don't you just don't die for them?" And the sin debt of the world is upon his shoulders. And really, when he prayed that, "Lord, let this cup, Father, let this cup pass from me," he wasn't praying, "Let the cross pass from me." Preacher, I think he was praying, "Don't let me die short of the cross." I think, preacher, he was nearly dying because of what he was facing there in the garden. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine be done." And then we see him as he makes the cross. And he's on that cross, battered and bruised, worse than anybody could ever be. Isaiah 52:14 says, "His visage was so marred more than any man." If you see these little old pictures of Jesus hanging, some artist painted a picture of Jesus hanging on a cross with a little trickle of blood coming out of his side and a little bit of blood coming down his face from the crown of thorns. Friend, listen to me. That ain't even in the ballpark of what Jesus looked like. You know what the Bible said? They looked at him and wagged their heads and shook their head. You know what I think, preacher? I believe he looked like a piece of raw meat hanging on the cross. His eyes were swollen closed. Blood was soaked and drenched his body, and blood was actually pooling beneath the cross. His back, where they had taken him into Pilate's hall and taken that cat of nine tails. I met a man one day that had an identical copy of what they used. Brother, it ain't nothing like what I thought it was. It had a handle on it big as a ball bat. It knocked down like a bat. It was about this long, the whole thing. I'm talking about if you stretched it out, everything had been about that long. Brother, the leather straps on it looked like a belt. And on that end of that thing, they had pieces of metal that the ends of them looked like fish hooks.
And what they would do, preacher, is they'd hang a man up where he was stretched up, and his arms are stretched up as tight as they could get his body. And then they had a man and men that were professional persecutors, tormentors. And that man would take that thing and have a human body up there, and they would pull every stitch of his clothes off. And then that big old Roman soldier that was strong as a bull would take that cat of nine tails, and he would reach back for that, and he knew how to take that thing, Brother John, to where it would go around his body, and then those hooks would hook it, and then he would pull it. And then he's beating him, and then he'd throw that thing around again, and it'd hit him again, and wrap around and pull him. Listen to what I'm telling you. They said that most people died from that. They said that their organs of their body and their intestines would be hanging out. That's the kind of beating he took. And you think that looks like his picture? You imagine that. Brother Walker, think about what he did. And think about then they'd clear their throats and walk by and spit in his face. Yeah. Then they mocked him. They got him his beard and they pulled it out. They'd take their hands and slap him in his face. And yet Jesus hung on that cross, hanging in the middle of two thieves. Blood, just blood, just a mass of blood. A mass of blood. Brothers, he hung there, it got dark. And the heavens got dark. And I believe this. I believe little birds didn't really know what to do. They was looking for a place to roost when it got so dark. Them birds is flying and landing on the leaves. And the deer is running and looking for their night bed and getting ready to lay down because they think night's coming. Never seen anything like it. And then he said, Elah, Elah, lama sabachthani. That's to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he hangs there and said, I thirst. Then it is finished. Yeah. Preacher, when he said that, them little old deers looked at one another and said, it's finished. Them birds said to the limbs on them trees, it's finished. And the angels of God ran through the corridors of heaven crying out, it's finished. It's finished. It's finished. Now, he wasn't finished. They took him and laid him in a tomb. And if you thought he was finished, listen, 72 hours, he's getting back up. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But you know what? When I look at Calvary and I look at what Jesus went through, how in the world could I blow the bugle of retreat? I mean, when we look at that old cross. Hey, let me tell you, brother, the cross, when you see, you hear songs about the cross, it ought to make you want to bow your head. It ought to make you want to fall down and worship. It said that a missionary in the Philippines one time had been persecuted and cussed out and whipped and everything else because of his stand for the gospel. And the Catholics over there put a lot of persecution on him. And one day as he was standing in the streets preaching, he was right across the street from the Catholic church. And the vendors from that church were coming out and selling rosary beads and little ornaments. And one little boy had a box of little wooden crosses. And he was over there and he was walking up down the street and said, get your cheap crosses. Get your cheap crosses. Crosses cheap. Let me tell you something. The one he was selling might have been cheap, but the one that I'm preaching about here was not cheap. This one here, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's best. It costs God's best to buy salvation. Brother, we ought not take it light. And I'm saying when I look at the cross, I can't blow the bugle of retreat. Then let me say this. When I see the call of God on my life, the call of God to preach the gospel. You know what Paul said? He said, I thank God he counted me faithful. Hey, let me tell you something. Some of you boys out here want God to use you and call you to preach. Let me tell you something. He don't call people that don't have to do nothing for God to start out with. Hey, man. Hey, you got to be faithful. Yeah. Paul said, I thank God he counted me faithful, having put me in the ministry. Amen. He put me in it. Hey, I didn't volunteer to get in it. Amen. He put me in it. Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If I didn't know tonight that God had put the call on me to preach this book, I wouldn't make it tonight.
Amen.
I wouldn't make it tonight. I wouldn't keep going. But I know. You know what? And I thank God that I look at men that through the ages sometimes got where that they just thought, boy, I don't know if I can go any further. Old Jeremiah, he was preaching hard as he could preach and laying it out there straight, and people just made faces and made fun and all of that of Jeremiah. You know what he said in the 20th chapter, verse 9? He said this. He said, I'm not going to speak any more in his name.
Yeah.
He said, I'll never mention his name again. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
But he said this, Brother Gray, but his word was in my bones as fire.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stay. His word was shut up my bones like fire. And I was weary with forbearing and couldn't stay. You know what he was saying? I couldn't quit and blow the bugle to retreat because of the call of God.
Amen.
There's been a many, of a time. Boy, I went home on a Sunday night, preacher, and I mean, it was one of them days, just seemed like, you know, you're just preaching is bouncing off the back wall. You ever done that?
Amen.
I mean, it just seemed like it. Nobody heard nothing you said. I've done that now. Hey, listen, I've been in this thing long enough. I can tell you something about that kind of stuff. Hey, I'm talking about preaching, and you think, does anybody listening? Does anybody care? Look out there, and you're giving it everything you got, about to blow every gear, and you throw it out, and you look over there, sitting somebody on the phone texting somebody. Oh, Lord, and I've said everything about that. I told him one night, I said, if I look over and see that phone again, I'm going to come over and put that thing down your throat. You better put that thing up. Amen. Sitting there texting while I'm trying to keep them from going to hell, keep the family, keep blowing apart, doing everything I can do, won't listen to nothing. And then come in my office, want me to tell them what to do when the thing unravels. I tell you what to do. Listen to me now. That's what you do. Listen to me now. But anyhow, getting back to that quitting deal. You know what, old John the Baptist? Hey, listen, did I tell you this morning? He's the best that God ever had. He's the best. I mean, listen, he wasn't up for to be the best. He was the best. Say, hey, when Jesus says you're the best, you're the best. And listen to what I'm saying. John was in prison for taking a stand. Hey, and if John can get in jail, I can get in jail. Roll off and go to jail, I can go to jail. But one thing about it, you know, somebody said, preachers are made for pulpits famous and prophets made prisons famous. Yeah. You know what? One thing about it, if a man goes to jail for Jesus, he's in good company, ain't he?
Amen.
Roll off from Paul and John the Baptist, you're getting him high cotton right there.
Amen.
But you know, John was in jail and some of his converts went down to visit him, Brother Gray, and said, that preacher, how you doing? He said, well, tell you the truth, I'm struggling a little bit.
Man.
They said, what's going on? He said, well, I'll tell you what I need. Would you go down there and ask Jesus, is he the one? Or shall we look for another? Now, preacher, let me tell you something. When a man gets like that, he's pretty close to resigning. He was on the ropes. Would you go ask him, is he the one? Or shall we look for another? And them old disciples went down there, and there's Jesus down there preaching. Man, there's dead people getting up.
Yeah.
There's lepers being cleansed. There's hungry people getting fed. There's sinners getting saved. There's blind people getting their eyes opened. I mean, it was on, neighbor. Hey, they was having a time down there. And them old boys stood there and watched that little bit and waited till Jesus got a break. And they turned around and said, Jesus, John sent us down here. Is that right? Yes. Well, what did he say? Well, he said, and I hate to even say this, but he said for us to ask you, are you the one? And it didn't shake Jesus a bit. Didn't rattle him. You know what he said? He said, you know something? He said, there's never been a man born of a woman greater than old John. He said, let me tell you what to do. Just go back and tell him what you saw and what you heard. Just go back and reach your... Hey, and they come running back into town and said, John, hey, ain't no mistake about it, but he's the one. There ain't no mistake. He's the one. Listen to what I'm telling you. You can't tell me John wasn't discouraged. And friend, let me tell you something tonight. But I can't quit when I look at old John that didn't quit.
Yeah.
When I look at my preacher, Frank Pittman, I remember our church had trouble back there when I was one of his deacons, and I was just a kid about 19 years old, and I stood with my preacher. Man, I watched people stand up and say things in the service, and honestly, brother, I probably shouldn't even tell this. But you know what? I was 19, and you know what I did? When he'd go back and shake hands, it was so bad at one time when he'd shake hands at the door. I didn't tell him what I was doing, but he knew. But I didn't even announce it to the crowd. But I went back there and I'd just stand with him while he shook hands. I'd just stand there like a, you know, good deacon's supposed to, and just stand there and shake hands with the crowd, just smile and say, "How you do? God bless you." But you know what? If somebody had reached and got a hold of him, let me tell you something, neighbor, I'd have been on him like ugly on an ape.
Amen.
You say, why? Because he's God's man, that's why. I wasn't going to let him bother my preacher. But you know what? That's a good way to get called to preach, too.
Yeah. Right.
Just standing there with him. But I watched people cuss him and lie on him and everything else. And you know what he did? He just kept on going.
Yeah.
Boy, I love that man. He's in heaven now. But what a good man. Old country preacher, loved the Lord, walked with God, taught me how to pray. Taught me everything I know about anything I know. I about learned from him, really, to be honest with you. Well, listen, but didn't quit. I think about old Dr. Hiles, all the junk. Listen, he had everything in the world told on him and stuff. It was just crazy, crazy stuff. And yet that man had come out, me and you was talking about it, preacher. He'd walk out that side door on that platform at pastor school, and you'd think he didn't have one trouble in all the world, Brother Gray. And I mean, he was up to his neck in trials and burdens and problems. But you know what he did? He finished, didn't he?
Yep.
Hey, you know old Lester Roloff? Listen, he finished. Dr. Lee Robertson. He's talking about today, Dr. Robertson. Dr. Lee Robertson. You know, he didn't fall and break his leg and die from that. Yeah. Preacher, his leg broke while he was just walking. It was so brittle. He was 98. They put him in the hospital and was going to do surgery and fix him. And the doctor said, "Nothing we can do. He's dying." And he got a hold of his son-in-law, Buddy Nichols, and he said, "Can you go in and tell him that he's dying? Could you go in and tell Dr. Robertson? We don't hardly know what to say to him. Would you go in and sit down?" So he did. He went in and turned the light on, pulled a chair up next to the bed, and said, "Dr. Robertson," and Dr. Robertson opened him old eyes and deep sockets laying there in his head, and he's laying there, and Buddy Nichols said, "Doc, they're not going to operate on you." He said, "Oh, no, they're not going to operate." "Well, why?" "Well, Doc," he said, "you're dying. You're dying." And they said water filled up them old eye sockets. And old Dr. Robertson shook his head, Brother Bob, and said, "Oh, I had so much more that I wanted to do. So much more at 98 years old. I had so much more that I wanted to do." Isn't that something? I don't know about you, boy, right there. Right now, the hair is standing straight out on the back of my neck. You know why? Because, hey, I'm not going to blow no bugle of retreat. Why? Because God called. Now, if I'd have been God, and I'm being serious, I'm not just trying to be sweet and nice and all that. Brother Bell, I can see why he called Brother Bob. I can see why he called some of these men to preach. I really can. I can see why he called Brother Bell. I really can. I can see why he did. I really can. Preacher, I can see why he called you. Brother Wayne, I can see why he called you. I can see why he called you, son. But let me tell you something. I'm being honest. Man, I know me. And if I was God, I mean to tell you, I'd have walked by me so fast I wouldn't even look that way if I was looking for a preacher. I'd have said, "Hey, I mean, listen, it took me 12 years and 2 summers to get through school.
Amen.
English is pitiful.
Amen. Right, right.
I'm above the average bear in common sense. But David, intellectually, about an idiot. But I'll tell you one thing. I might look like I come to town on a load of pumpkins, but I understand a lot of this stuff too is going on. And I'm going to tell you something, but I wouldn't have called me. But you know what God does? Sometimes, Brother Yoder, this is what I believe. God will take somebody that you wouldn't think that'd get nothing done, and he'll take somebody like that just to show you he don't need much. God don't need much. Amen. He just needs somebody to show up on time.
Amen.
He just needs somebody to stay in there when the battle smoke's coming. He just needs somebody that'll wield a sword in their hand and stand there and fight till the battle's over and Jesus calls us home. Oh, don't blow the retreat. Hey, I'm talking about old Mays Jackson didn't retreat. Jack Hudson didn't retreat. Lee Robertson didn't retreat. Jack Howell didn't retreat. Tom Malone didn't retreat. Curtis Hudson didn't retreat. I just go on and on and on. Bobby Robertson been down there nearly 60 years at one church. 58 years. And I talked to him the other day. I said, Brother Bobby, we drove together to a meeting. I said, how you doing? He said, great, good, great. He said, I'm enjoying, and this is what he said, Brother Bob. He said, I'm enjoying preaching now more than I've ever enjoyed it in my life. Yeah. Man, that's Caleb stuff right there. Yeah. I want this mountain. Yeah. Rest that bunch wanting to take a bottle of grapes and run off somewhere and not fight giants. Want to get out somewhere and get a banana and a hunk of grapes and get off in the thicket somewhere and just hump up and eat that stuff and not fight the giants. Let me tell you something, friend. You're gonna eat grapes. You're gonna have to fight giants.
Amen. Amen.
And you may as well dig in because this battle's for real.
Amen.
And buddy, it ain't no place for sissies.
Amen.
Hey, that's the reason I appreciate my old football coach. You know what he done? He tried his best to get everybody to quit. Man, listen, he cussed us. Now, I'm talking about now, this has been 40 years ago nearly. Yeah, it has been 40 years. Hey, listen, man, he cussed us as a fly wouldn't land on us. He talked rough to us. Now, I ain't saying that's right. I'm just telling you that he said, ain't no little girls going to play on this team. He had talked to us rough. He runned us till I've seen boys pass out. One time we was losing, preacher, in a football game. We was getting a tire beat. We get whooped bad, man. And we come in at halftime, you know how hot you are, you've been playing. We come in at halftime and reached up there and grabbed that chin strap and got ready to pull the helmets off. He said, don't take your helmets off. I don't want to look at your faces. Don't pull your helmets off. I don't want to look at a bunch of sissy faces. I wanted to say, some having compassion make it a... Hey, his verse was none having compassion make it a difference. He didn't have a drop of compassion for any human being. But you know what? I'm glad I played for him. I don't even believe he liked his mother. I mean, listen. But I'm being honest. I'm glad I played for him. You know why? Because he taught us not to retreat. Man, he said, you get back out there and you better play. You better give it. If I don't see mud coming off your cleats, son, he said, I'm pulling you out of the game and I'll put a seventh grader in there in your place. He said, we'll have to dress some of these cheerleaders. But you know what? It helped. It helped. And you know what he did? Seriously, I was so stinking mad. That when we come out of that locker room, I was so stinking mad that, listen, I believe, I was just, you're seeing colors, man. You're so mad. But you know what? He did that on purpose.
Yeah.
When we got on that field, it was dangerous.
Yeah.
I'm saying, you know what, though? It ought to be for the, hey, when we see the cross and when we see the call, how can we blow the bugle of retreat?
Yeah.
How can we just say, well, I'm out of it. Things is too hard. Man, look, it's always been hard. Hey, I'm gonna finish up here. I don't even know where I'm at. Let me say this third, and I'll finish. I can't blow the bugle retreat because of the commission of Christ. The commission. I'm commissioned. You're looking at a commissioner. No, he's the commissioner. I'm the commissioned. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel. You know why I can't blow the bugle? They ain't all saved.
Amen.
You know what? In my town, it's a little town. Moxville's a little town. I guess there's 5,000 people in Moxville. Probably about 40,000 in the county. About 40,000 people in our county. And you know what? Sometimes we'll go over and over and people call and say, y'all have knocked on my door. Don't come back up here. Don't come back up here. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I find out? They still, people that ain't saved.
Lots of them.
Amen.
We don't run 5,000.
Yeah.
We don't have 40,000. We're not done. Amen. Hey, the whole world hadn't heard the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
We haven't taken on all the missionaries to go start churches that we should have. We're doing all right, but brother, we got a long ways to go.
Yeah.
Hey, we haven't won the world to Christ.
Amen.
We haven't turned the world upside down.
Amen.
Hey, let me tell you something. Every person in this room that names the name of Christ, if you're saved, listen, you're supposed to be a witness.
Amen.
Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. That's Columbus. Judea, that's out just a little further. That's bus ministry stuff. Samaria, and still buses. Then he said, unto the utmost part of the earth. That's missions.
Yeah.
Get out there and get it done.
Amen.
The commission of Christ. I can't blow the bugle when I think about the commission.
Amen.
I'll close out. And then I can't blow the bugle of retreat when I think about the coming judgment seat.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
The coming judgment seat. Hey, listen. For every one of us, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know what Paul said, preacher? And I'm through with this. I know you know what this is. Brother Bob, you know what he said? Knowing therefore, after he said about all of us got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you know he goes on down through there and says in verse 11, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now you say, boy, that means persuade men to be saved. None doesn't. Here's what it means. It means for we preachers to persuade men to be soul winners.
Man.
To be ushers.
Man.
To be bus captains. Right. To be bus drivers. To tithe. To read their Bible. To walk with God.
Man.
To pray. To be filled with the Spirit. To do everything they're supposed to do. Why? Because every one of us must give an account.
Amen. Amen.
You know when we're going to give account? When the trumpet sounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When the trumpet sounds.
Right.
Hey, listen, there's no quit.
Right.
There's no quit.
Amen.
I don't know if I told, I might have, I don't know, honestly, before God, I don't know if I told this here this week or not. Well, I know I didn't tell this illustration, I'll use it, not use the other. And I know I told the other one somewhere. I don't know if it was here or down yonder, where was that? But Napoleon, you know, was a military man, leader. But he had a lot of wins under his belt of battles he'd won. I've got a big biography of Napoleon. Napoleon was fighting in a battle. I'm not sure what battle it was. But in this particular battle, his army was being defeated. Here sat Napoleon and a couple of his generals on a ridge watching the battle through the telescope. And he's watching and seeing what's happening. His divisions are being thrown back and beaten. And he said to one of the generals, he said, there's no way we can hold into this. We need to retreat. We'll have to retreat back. And down beside his big white stallion sat a little old private that was a bugler. And he looked and he gave a command. He said, son, blow a retreat. He raises his telescope back up and starts looking at the battle. He hears no sound of retreat. He said, son, I said, blow a retreat. Still no sound of the retreat. Blow a retreat. And that little old private looked up to that big general sitting on that stallion. He said, sir, I don't know how to blow a retreat. You never taught me. Y'all never taught me how to retreat. He said, I don't know. He said, do the best you can and blow the retreat. That little old fella, tears streaming down his face, raised that bugle up there. And when he blowed charge. That's all he knowed how to do. And Napoleon's men, it is said, heard the charge. They heard the trumpet coming from their direction. They heard the charge. They said, thank God. Reinforcements is on the way. And they began to pick up business and fight harder.
Amen.
And then the other side said, we won't be able to hold out another charge from more men. They retreated. Napoleon got credit for a victory. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. You know why he got credit for a victory? because of a little bugler that didn't know how to blow a retreat. Now let me tell you something. You're a member of this church, or whatever member your church you're a member of. You dig in there with both feet. And if you're driving a bus, you keep driving a bus. You sing back here in this choir. Everybody in this choir ought to be here when we come back. You'll be right there.
Amen. Amen.
Whoever you are, if you're an usher in this church, don't you retreat. You're a nursery worker, don't retreat. You're a soloist, don't retreat. You play the organ, don't retreat. You play the piano, don't retreat. You park cars, don't retreat. You're a member of this church, listen. Whatever you do, don't retreat.
Amen.
Having a hard time, still don't retreat. Don't ever retreat, don't quit. Old Muhammad Ali, and I'm not a Muhammad Ali fan. I'm not a fan of any Muslim.
Amen.
Give me a witness on that right there.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. Bless God if your mother-in-law is one. I ain't for her either. I'm not for that junk. Amen. But I will give you a good story. Old Muhammad Ali was fighting them super fights with old Joe Frazier, you know. I remember watching them. I was boxing about that time they were fighting. And in one of these super fights, Brother Dwayne, Frazier was getting the best of the fight. I mean, he was old Smoking Joe, remember him? And he was putting it on Muhammad Ali. He was beating him. Ali had won a couple of rounds, but he was being taken. And Ali was beat up pretty bad. And he come back to the corner and he told Angelo Dundee, he said, "I'm whipped. I can't go back out." And his brother, Ali's brother, worked in the corner too. And he said, "Muhammad," he said, "just go back to the well one more time. Just go back to the well one more time." You know what he went? Just reach down and get everything he got and go back out there one more round. He went out that round, he turned it around. And then he come back and he won another round. And then he went out again and he won another round. And when the thing ended, he raised his hand in victory. He turned the fight around. And Howard Cosell was interviewing him, asked him, said, "What turned that fight?" He said, "When my brother said, go back to the well one more time." Hey, listen, I don't know what well he is dipping out of, but I can tell you the one you got. You're having it. Listen, you're going through the battles tonight. Just reach down into this old well. Reach into the well of water. And let God help you. Our Father, I pray tonight you'd use, Lord, these scattered remarks, Lord, tonight to help the people. And Lord, I pray again for this church and this dear pastor. You'd bless him. I pray somebody got some help tonight, got encouraged tonight. Bless Brother Gray. Use him as he preaches tonight. Fill him with the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, Pastor.
Amen.
Take your songbooks, please, and turn to